The sound design is based on the visual guidelines or visual themes of the hospital building, which is sort of there's a consistency in terms of that it relates to nature, and then it relates to these Moomin books. I don't know if you know these rather famous Finnish books with Moomin characters. The themes go from the underground parking lot to the upmost floor, so that the parking lot is kind of below the sea, like underwater. And then the first floor is shore. And then from there up to the jungle and forest, and there's a space and a star up to upmost floor. So we use these visual themes of each floor as the audio guideline as well. So there are ingredients from nature, like on the shore or in the jungle. There are actual jungle sounds, but then there are also musical fragments which are designed by the students. There are not any songs or not any tunes, but also there's a bit of fantasy and some sort of a musical dimension into them as well. And of course, if you think of space and star, space doesn't have any sound. So these are abstract sort of fantasy sounds.
Mm-hmm. So there's a reference to this really famous children's books or films, which I guess most of Finnish kids know. Was this also your main target group for like planning the sound design? So just to talk a bit more also about the reasons or the intentions and the goals for implementing a soundscape in a hospital.
Yes. The primary target group are the kids. Come to the hospital for treatment, and anything between a little flu to really difficult operations, surgery and stuff. So, and the idea of the sound is to provide food for their imagination through the audible domain, like hearing the sounds. And the idea is to make the hospital less frightening and less kind of alien. It's a sort of very, very kind of special environment. And these sounds, so this is the main target group. But on the other hand, there are people, the hospital staff, nurses, doctors, people like administration who work there 40 hours per week. And when designing the sounds, we needed to take into account, because it's a different thing to just kind of go to the parking lot and step out of the car and hear the underwater soundscape, and then take the elevator, and then you leave the building. So that's why the sounds are rather low in loudness. We use a lot of high frequencies, which are kind of better audible for kids.
So what I imagine that repetitive sounds could also be very disturbing. So do you have like a very long playlist, or when does it start to repeat itself?
Yeah. Okay, it never repeats.
Wow.
That's the idea. It's sort of infinitely new, which doesn't mean that it's changing to whatever sounds, but rather than, if you think of an actual forest, let's say, you go to a forest, you have something like five different sounds which you are expected to hear there. There's wind, there's your own footsteps on the ground, there's tree leaves rustling, there are birds, and some perhaps squirrels, something, and perhaps occasional rain. It's very limited, the different categories of sounds you have in typical nature environment. But when you go to the forest the next day, the soundscape is different. It never repeats, right? It's being generated by natural phenomena and animals and human beings, like all the time. And this is how the hospital soundscape is designed, except that it's a computer which generates the soundscape. So it's an algorithm and a kind of database of numerous sounds which are there.
Yeah, that also kind of leads us to how you developed the soundscape for the Children's Hospital. I already realized now that it's really complex, and I imagine that you have to think about a lot of things. So how did you approach the soundscape?
We were using actual sonic environments and soundscapes as our point of reference. The whole thing is programmed so that during the night hours it goes very silent and very sparse. Then from the early morning it gets more sort of lively and more dense. Like when the sun is rising, the birds start to sing and the wind rises. And sort of logic and behavior of the soundscapes is driven from nature.
In the talk you held at the sound conference in Berlin, you write in your abstract for the talk that listening was very important for the sound design. Could you explain why?
Yes. If you think of a sound design starting from a little like a sound logo, you have a commercial and then you have a little 5-second bleep or whoosh or something in the end. Then you go to, a 10-minute radio feature, for instance. You can listen it over and over from start to end and fine-tune it. But this kind of generative soundscape, like we have in the hospital, you can't listen it through from start to end because it never ends. You must listen to this kind of sounds is to expose yourself to the sound for a long time. So that what the students did, and I did it myself as well, we took the sounds from to our homes and wherever we go and played them on the background for hours and hours and hours in order to kind of experience how does it feel to have this jungle soundscape or valley soundscape or whatever, playing silently on the background. On the basis of this experience, we sort of then redesigned or changed some elements and so on. That is where you notice that some elements, even though they appear randomly and not playing in a loop, they might start to kind of bother you and then you need to take them away.
I can also imagine that it changes with the place you play it. And of course, the hospital sounds very different to your private living room. How did you deal with that?
Yes. The collaboration with the hospital was very fluent. So I explained this in the very beginning of the project, that what needs to be done in the end, that we must have the permission to spend a lot of time in the hospital before it's open to the sort of taken into use. We got one full weekend to spend time in the empty hospital and listen to the sounds there. This is very special, of course, to be in a huge building which is kind of untouched. There are no fingerprints in the door handles and everything smells like a new plastic wrapping, like things taken out of the factory, you know. This was, of course, a big thing that the hospital sort of trusted us that, okay, we leave you alone in a building with the millions and millions equipment, like, and you just have the key and you can walk around as you wish and listen to all the sounds and making the final adjustments to the sound.
Sounds like a very intense project. But now the hospital is already working. And how did the staff react? Or did you also hear some reactions from visitors, from kids?
We already got some individual feedback. We haven't done the survey yet. That's the next phase we will do, sort of a user experience survey in the hospital extensively, so that we will interview the kids and interview the parents and interview the nurses. We have gotten individual comments which have been very positive, like parents of the kids have told that one child who is blind and visits the hospital for certain treatment enters the building and then takes the elevator to a certain floor and so on. And this kid is really in love with the elevators because of the sounds in there. Of course, visually impaired people are extra sensitive to sounds and they sort of pay attention to sounds that we don't even notice. So this was especially positive feedback.